Hare Krishna. My varies. Could everyone hear? Everyone could hear? My very special gratitude to Braj Hari Prabhu for arranging this meeting in which I could sit within the association of such an auspicious, resplendent assembly of renunciates. Just yesterday, I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, and Hridayananda Goswami was asking a question in regard to dovetailing our propensities in Krishna consciousness. And he was asking Prabhupada about whether he recommends the Grihastha Ashram for this purpose. And Srila Prabhupada explained how the Grihastha Ashram is a perfect arrangement for spiritual advancement. He said, however, if you are able to do without sex life and association of woman, then it is superior to remain a brahmachari. And then he was talking about how brahmacharis must be real brahmacharis. Prabhupada said, not bachelor daddies. Said, we do not want bachelor daddy. People who are in saffron cloth or who are in the renounced order of life but who do not have proper conduct of a renunciate. He said, this is very common in India. Prabhupada said, you should either be a exemplary good brahmachari or you should be an exemplary good grihastha. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, he was very happy if anyone followed their ashram strictly, but he could not tolerate hypocrisy. Chota Haridas, he banished Chota Haridas because he wanted to show the world that he does not tolerate hypocrisy, does not tolerate duplicity. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accused him of associating with the opposite sex in the wrong way. But then Srila Prabhupada, in one beautiful morning walk, he tells how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy with Sivananda Sen having babies. Lord Chaitanya was told by Sivananda Sen that my wife is having a child, and Lord Chaitanya was so happy. Oh, this is very good. You name the child Paramananda Puri when it is born. And then he came, Sivananda Sen came home, and the child was born, and he named him Puridas. And Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He gave special mercy to Puridas. He allowed him to suck the Lord's toe. And ultimately that little child became the great Kavi Karnapur, one of the greatest Vaishnava poets that the world has ever seen. So Prabhupada was stressing in this way, that if a person was an honest, sincere, exemplary grihastha, Prabhupada was very pleased to, and Lord Chaitanya was very pleased to shower blessings. And if a person was a very honest, simple, and straightforward brahmachari or sannyasi, Mahaprabhu showered his blessings. But if he saw hypocrisy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very displeased. So what is a brahmachari? Srila Prabhupada explains that in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, nothing is superficial. Everything must have substance. Everything must have a very strong basis of both philosophy and good character. And especially those who are in the renounced order of life, the saffron color is, Prabhupada explained, it is like a flag. It is like the flag of renunciation, the flag of dedication, which represents our whole society, our sampradaya. And people expect, the public expects the highest character, the highest behavior from someone who is in the renounced order of life. And if someone is in this color and they are not exemplifying the highest spirit of renunciation and devotion, then they do a great injustice to the preaching movement. So it is a great responsibility. So what are the prime duties of one in the renounced order? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained it very concisely. You know the story of Raghunath Das Goswami, who is our Prayojana Acharya. He was living in great opulence. He was the single heir of a huge fortune. His father and uncle were zamindars, and they had proprietorship over large spans of land. It's practically like their own kingdom. And they were the tax collectors, and they would give a portion to the king, and they would keep a portion for themselves, and there was so much land, and so many people in their land. They had so much money. Beautiful palaces, beautiful everything. Raghunath was living in Krishnapur, in the vicinity of Saptagram. It's not really far from, it's from the road between Calcutta and Mayapur. And his parents, seeing his disinterest in materialistic life, they tried to generate his enthusiasm. So they're very intelligent. They married him to a girl who was as beautiful as an angel, who was sweet in nature, subordinate, submissive, eager to serve. She was just an ocean of good qualities. Anything a man could possibly want in a woman, she possessed that. And his parents were loving, but Raghunath Das had no affection whatsoever. Why? Because his guru, Yadunandan Acharya and Balaram Acharya, his family priest, when he was a boy, they brought him to Fuliagram and Chandpur also, where he met Srila Haridas Thakur. He was living in a cave with snakes. And Haridas Thakur just chanting him, Harinam. So immersed, so engrossed. And due to that association with Thakur Haridas, Raghunath Das Goswami felt, this is what I want. This is the wealth that has substance. So he cared nothing for the great riches of millions of dollars. Those days, rupees. He cared nothing for a beautiful, chaste, faithful, submissive wife. He cared nothing for his parents, whose hearts were going to be broken into millions of pieces because he was the only heir to their fortune. Everything they were doing it for him. This is renunciation. In our Gaudiya Sampradaya, renunciation means following in the footsteps of Raghunath Das Goswami. We don't become a brahmachari because we want facilities, material things. We become a brahmachari because we want exclusive dedication to the service of the Lord. We don't want to become brahmacharis so that we can get a place in society and then get married and have more. We become brahmacharis because we honestly and earnestly want to train in that spirit of detachment and devotion. So yes, Raghunath Das Goswami left everything. Not easy. Imagine. He could have justified in so many ways to just stay home and enjoy and chant Hare Krishna. He could have become a pure devotee at home too. Just chant Hare Krishna, do his occupation, take care of his wife, raise some nice, beautiful, Krishna-conscious children. He had it all. He could have done it. But he wanted exclusive devotion to the extent that he had to run away from home and then drag back, run away, drag back, run away, drag back. Now, most people would have said, maybe Krishna just wants me to be a nice grihasta and chant Hare Krishna. He was determined. Devashayatmaka budhir ekeha kurunandana bahushaka hirantascha budhayo vyabashayanam. Those who are on this path, they are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. And this is the very much a principle of a brahmachari or sannyasi. Our aim is one. We don't want this. Even so many temptations, even so many justifications. Almost every day he was running away from home. And he was caught and brought back. And then by the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he received the dust of the Lord's feet upon his head. And he only begged for this one blessing. Let me completely take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With no diversion or distraction. And Nityananda Prabhu blessed him. And then he escaped. And he went to Puri. But his escape was so amazing in the middle of the night. He had to make all kinds of plots. And then he didn't even go to Puri. In the main road. He went, instead of the main road, he went in a slightly different direction through the jungles so that nobody could possibly look for him. I remember it took him 12 days to reach Puri. And he was emaciated. He only ate something 3 days out of 12. He would just walk, walk, walk all day long. And then he would stop at some little cow shed and sleep at night, sleep under trees. When he came to Puri, his clothes were all withered, his body was emaciated. He fell at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya was so happy to see him. The devotee said, Raghunath Das has come. Hare Krishna. Mahaprabhu said, only by Krishna's mercy can you have escaped such a prosperous, opulent material condition. Only by the mercy of Krishna. He was telling that, just see, he had a wife like an angel. He had parents who were so loving and supportive. He had riches like Indra, influence, power, everything. And he left it all through so many suffering conditions, like a fugitive. Only by Krishna's mercy is this possible. Lord Chaitanya said about his uncle and father, Govardhan and Hiranya, Majumdar. He said, your uncle and father, they are like my relatives because they were friends of my grandfather. Therefore, I could speak jokingly about them. They are just like two worms in stool. Hare Krishna. He said, although they're devotees, They're devotees of Krishna. They're very much attached to their family life, and they're very much attached to sense gratification also. Therefore, they are like two worms in stool. And Prabhupada explains that when you go to a pit where people pass stool, worms live in that stool. And even if you take a worm out, by his free will, where will he go when he's free? Just go right back into the stool because of attachment. Very difficult. Only by the mercy of Krishna can one become attached to the lotus feet of Krishna and thus detached from these most intoxicating allurements of Maya. Hare Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami said, I do not know who is Krishna. I only know your mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has rescued me from an abominable condition of materialistic life. So Lord Chaitanya put Raghunath Das Goswami under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Put their hands together. And Raghunath Das Goswami was so humble. He rarely, if ever, approached Lord Chaitanya directly. So one day, Swarup Damodar Goswami came with Raghunath Das Goswami to Gambira. And Swarup Damodar Goswami spoke on behalf of Raghunath Das. He said, Raghunath Das Goswami has questions that he wants me to ask you. He does not know what is his duty and what is he supposed to do in life. He's already given up everything and come here. What is his duty? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Raghunath Das Goswami, actually, Swarup Damodar Goswami Maharaj, he knows everything. You should just follow his instructions. That in itself is a great instruction. What is the duty of a person in the renounced order of life? To be the servant of the servant of the servant. You don't have to approach me directly. Whatever he says, you follow his instruction, you serve him. Servant of the servant of the servant. Then Lord Chaitanya said, but because you have asked me to answer your question, and you have asked with an honest and loving heart, I will give you the answer. And herein we find from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself what he expects of someone in the renounced order of life. And if we're going to be in this ashram of brahmachari or sannyas, if we want to please the Lord, we must take his instructions very seriously. Because the Lord does not tolerate hypocrisy. The Lord begins, Gramya katana shunibe, Gramya bharatana kohibe, Balana koibe ar, Balana poribe, Amanina manade hoy, Krishna nam sadalabe, Braje radha Krishna seva manase koribe. First instruction, Gramya katha nashunibe. Do not speak idle gossip. Gramya katha, village talk. In other words, no prajalpa. And gramya, and do not hear such words. This is the fundamental basic principle of renunciation. The beginning. We should give up the propensity for gossip. We should give up the propensity for criticizing others. Politics. Politics is basically nothing but gossip and prajalpa. Yes? If we have the propensity, we must renounce it. We must tolerate it. It's all important. Because it destroys spiritual atmosphere and it destroys the sanctity of our hearts. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Gramya Katha means the way ordinary family people in villages talk. They talk so many unnecessary subjects, especially about other people. Recently, I was with some very, very high society people in Bombay. In fact, they're considered the highest echelons, the highest category within the social system. They're regularly in the social pages of the newspaper. Very high society, mixing with people of that caliber. Very wealthy, very beautiful, very famous. And what do they do? He said, all they do when they meet together is speak prajalpa. So that's it. They're addicted to it. Most of them are drinking alcohol too. But while they're drinking, what do when they're together? They just gossip. They just criticize others behind their backs. Have you heard what this person has done? Well, did you hear what that person... I heard about this. Well, you heard that. But you should hear what I heard. Oh, well, you think, yes? You should hear what I have seen. Scandals, fall downs. It's like nectar. Prabhupada explains these mundane subject matters are pleasing to people who have the mentality of a crow. Crows love to suck the sweet juice from sewage and garbage. And they become ecstatic. At Radha Gopinath Temple, we started a nice garden. And there's all these beautiful flowers and plants. And I saw nice bumblebees and butterflies just sucking the pollen of these plants. And one day, it was in the morning, I went out and there was this plastic barrel that was used for putting garbage. Yes, trash. And the trash, before Vasudev Prabhu took over the department, it was not being emptied every day. In fact, it was fermenting. It smelled horrible. And I saw along the rim of that garbage was about 8 crows. And they were just diving in and coming out with this fermented sewage-like trash. And they were eating it and eating it. Sometimes they were fighting over it. It was fat. It was a pilgrimage of crows. So the Bhagavatam describes like this in the second canto, that those who are attached to discussing materialistic subject matters are like those who are going on a pilgrimage with crows, just sucking the sweet juice of sewage, trash. And unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, people develop a taste for it. Yes? It's very sweet. Especially to hear about people's faults. It's very sad. And newspapers. The society newspapers is all about scandals. Yes? And people become popular when they do a lot of scandals. People love to hear these things. Prajalpa. But what is the quality of a devotee? Prabhupada explains, even if there is a whole area of sewage and garbage, if there's one flower, the honey bee will ignore everything else and only drink the nectar from that flower. So yes, in Kali Yuga, there's so many faults that so many people have, and there's so many scandals to talk about, and there's so much gossip to share with each other. But a devotee ignores all that. For a philosophical purpose to help each other, sometimes we'll discuss the miseries of material existence. But in a philosophical proper way, not in a gossiping way. This is a Vaishnava. This is real renunciation according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That we really want to fix our consciousness on Krishna Katha, speaking the good of others. We have no concern with criticism of speaking or hearing. This is the first instruction for one who is actually a brahmachari or sannyasi. And Krishna's in our hearts. He's watching. Are we a hypocrite? Are we brahmacharis? Are we putting on the flag of renunciation, but we're gossiping about others? And politics? It's abominable. Ramananda Rai was a great politician, but he did everything in a completely pure heart for Krishna. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, Sharalata, simplicity, is the first qualification for a devotee. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expected brahmacharis to be simple. What is simplicity? It means no duplicity. We have clean hearts. So politics of playing one person against another, divide and conquer, making different groups, groupism, sectarianism. It may be politically advantageous to get power and facilities. But the problem is, if you engage in these activities, your consciousness is rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is seated within your heart. And that is a fact. What is ISKCON? ISKCON is a movement where everyone is united for the purpose of serving Prabhupada's desire. Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles wept tears with a choked voice, begging his followers, please assist me in my service to my Guru Maharaj. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant for this exclusive purpose. And it must be understood. It must be the mission statement engraved deeply within the fiber of the inner core of our hearts. That ISKCON means that society that is assisting Srila Prabhupada in his service to his Guru Maharaj. And what is the service? To broadcast pure devotional service through the chanting of the holy names of Krishna throughout the world. And Prabhupada said to our society, united we stand, divided we fall. The Prabhupada wanted purity and he wanted unity. Both. Not unity like politicians. Politicians they'll make allies with their worst enemies and hate each other just to overcome a worse enemy. Yes? But real unity is unity in our purpose. And that purpose that we together, we spread the glories of Krishna consciousness for Prabhupada's pleasure. Hari Hari. It doesn't matter which temple, it doesn't matter which guru. All that matters is that we are developing love and trust amongst each other beyond all sectarian boundaries for Prabhupada's pleasure. Because that is what will give us power. It's all important. So for brahmacharis to be involved in sectarianism, in fact, in Vrindavan, many demons came, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained each of those demons represent one of the most difficult obstacles that block pure devotional service on the path of Braj Bhumi. After Krishna subdued Kaliya so expertly with his magnificent dance, then he took rest on the bank of Yamuna with the Brijbasis. And in the middle of the night there was a massive fire. This fire was like walls that reached the stars on all four sides, and it was closing in. Now what can you do? Hare Krishna. When literally a thick wall of flames that was literally reaching the stars was closing in on you. And it was hot. They approached Krishna. Please save us. And Krishna swallowed the fire. Now what does this fire represent? Which major obstacle in the path of pure devotional service? Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this fire represents intercommunal discord between different sectors of Vaishnavas. Or in other words, sectarian quarreling, politics between devotees. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explained it in the same way. When devotees in his mat, leaders even, were fighting over facilities and criticizing each other and competing with each other for selfish reasons and developing different camps of followers of different people, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati on the banks of Radha Kund told Srila Prabhupada, there is fire in the mat. This politics amongst devotees is like fire in the mat, which has the power to destroy everything. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if they're fighting over rooms with marble, let's tear down the marble and just distribute books and be united. That was his concern. Of course, better than that is to have wonderful temples and be united for the purpose that we are living for. So this Gramya Katha is a very powerful device of Maya to destroy our own spiritual lives and to destroy the success of the mission, both on a local and international level. Back in the 1970s, people were just writing letters to each other. That was the communication, because devotees had no money for phone calls. So they were just writing letters. So a machine came out called telex. Yes? Telex means you could send a message through the phone lines within a matter of minutes. You would get it and you could discuss with each other. You would just print it out. I don't know if it was through phone lines or whatever it was, but it was called telex. So devotees asked Prabhupada if the center should get telexes to communicate with each other in a more fast and efficient way than letters, which is today called snail mail. And Prabhupada said, no. If you get this telex, you will simply use it to talk prajalpa. Hare Krishna. Now we have internet, which is 1,000 times more efficient and powerful than telex. And if you look at the different websites on internet, even Hare Krishna websites, probably 90% are simply prajalpa. Yes, Prabhupada's words always come true. Did Prabhupada want this? No. So why should we open up one of these programs? It's simply Gramya Katana Shunibe, Gramya Varatana Kohibe. Give up this Gramya Kata. Now, Grihastas, they should also give up Gramya Kata. But it's an inbuilt nature of the Grihastha ashram that you kind of have to talk about it sometimes. But those in the renunciatory of life, a brahmachari, no. We have no justification for brahmyatata. Now these teachings that Lord Chaitanya gave to Raghunath Das Goswami, they are progressive. They go from the fundamental to higher principles. This is number one. No politics, no gossip, no criticisms. We should speak only to enlighten one another and to purify our own hearts. The basic principle of the renounced order of life is to control the tongue. Gramya katana shunibe, gramya varatana kohibe. Balana kohibe ar, balana puribe. And do not eat luxuriously. Hare Krishna. Those in the renounced order of life should not eat luxuriously. Sometimes on big utsavs, feast days, we will eat luxuriously as a glorification of Krishna to take his remnants. But we shouldn't be aspiring for things like this. Yes? When I became a new devotee, I remember a devotee said, it's an offense to your guru if you don't overeat on his Vyas Puja. So on Prabhupada's Vyas Puja, everyone ate like too much. And on Govardhan Puja also, you have to... Krishna ate the mountain, so that's the standard. So on festival days, take prasadam for your full satisfaction. But ordinary days, we should be content with simple food. Prabhupada was very strong with brahmacharis not to go out and buy food, especially in India. No restaurants. No going to these stalls on the side of the road. And what horrible preaching it is. If people see devotees of ISKCON in saffron color or brahmachari colors, eating samosas at a stall. People think, what sadhu is this? Very difficult. I remember in 1971 when I was living in Vrindavan, something in now Vrindavan has become very cosmopolitan. But in those days it was a sadhu place. And there was some devotee in saffron color walking down the street eating sweetmeats. And people were coming to me, what nonsense sadhu is that? What hypocrisy is that? He's walking eating sweet beets. If he's going to eat sweet beets, at least he should sit in a secluded place under a tree, not walking down the street. This is not renunciation. They were so disturbed. It was a big thing. Hare Krishna. And even I was disturbed. So yes, we are representing our whole parampara. We have to be very careful. Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya explains, our eating should be exemplary. A brahmachari should eat in the proper way, in the proper circumstances, and should eat with the proper foods, Krishna prasad, simple prasad. Should not be addicted. Mahaprabhu explained, what is a person in the renounced order of life? In another place, he said, not one who goes here and there trying to satisfy his tongue and genitals. This is not sin. This is not renunciation. So eat simple food offered to Krishna that comes in a dignified way. That is brahmachari. And do not dress luxuriantly. Do not dress opulently. That is the fourth principle. We dress simple. Raghunath Das Goswami, he just picked up a torn up piece of cloth that was discarded by the Brijabasis and he just made it into a kopan. He would wear nothing else. Sometimes an old wrapper. So devotees, Prabhupada, because we're preaching, he wanted us to be clean. He wanted us to look respectable, but very simple. No fashions. And then the next verse, the fifth statement of Mahaprabhu. Amanina manadena. What is a brahmachari? Those in the renounced order of life, they must offer all respect to others and expect no respect for themselves. If we want to make spiritual progress as a brahmachari, we must be understanding these principles and striving to follow them honestly. To offer all respects to others and expect nothing in return. Because essentially, what is renunciation? It is the renunciation of the false ego. If you renounce everything else, if you renounce sex, if you renounce wealth, if you renounce prestige, but you still have false ego, prestige in a subtle way, then we're not really renounced at all. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had so many hundreds and hundreds of brahmacharis and many sannyasis. And he was so strong. Oh, he was so strong. He was like a thunderbolt on this principle of amanina manadena. Don't expect respect. In fact, when he saw that his sannyasis were expecting respect from others because they were sannyasis, he gave an order that at the time of prasad, sannyasis serve everyone else. You eat last. This is renunciation. It's not a matter of position, it's a matter of service. Swarup Damodar Goswami, he took sannyas, but he didn't accept the external formalities of sannyas. He didn't want all the formalities of respect that a sannyasi gets. He only wanted the exclusive dedication of service. That is real renunciation. So yes, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, very strong. If he saw brahmacharis or sannyasis expecting respect for each other, striving to achieve those things.
Buries like a thunderbolt.
He said, Pratishtha, the desire for respect, is like the stool of a boar.
Hare Krishna.
The stool of a pig living in the jungles.
Hog.
Can you think of a more abominable type of stool than a boar?
Hare Krishna. Very graphic.
This is how you must see the prestige of this world. And ornamentation for yourself, people like to look nice. Gold looks very nice. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur quoted from Bhagavatam that for a renunciate, gold is yellow stool.
Hare Krishna.
When you have jaundice, you pass golden stool. So we have no concern for the stool of opulences. And we have less concern for the stool, the boar stool of prestige. But yet, it is common in Kali Yuga that somebody becomes a senior brahmachari. And they demand respect. What does that mean? They've missed the very essence of what brahmachari is about. It becomes a superficial, almost meaningless identity. Real renunciation is to give up the desire for prestige. To offer all respect to others and to expect none in return. Servant. Very critical point. And then he goes on to the seventh principle. But please understand, you cannot approach the seventh principle unless you're first sincerely trying to follow the first six. Giving up political gossip and hearing it. Giving up making all kinds of separate arrangements for nice food and nice clothing. Giving up the desire to be respected and honored by others and by offering all respect to others. Prabhupada said, we must command respect, never demand respect. What is the difference? Demand respect means we are expecting people to respect us. We are telling people they must respect us. And you may get respect, but demanded respect can never come from someone's heart. It usually comes out of someone's fear. That is not bhakti. To command respect means to act in such a way, in such an exemplary spirit of servitude, that people out of their love of their heart spontaneously respect you. And when we live by these principles, then Krishna Nam Sada Hare. Then we could constantly chant the names of Krishna. Renunciation means to really be striving to constantly chant the names of Krishna. Brahmachari must have very serious exemplary sadhana. Otherwise, we're not brahmacharis. Srila Prabhupada explained, what is brahmachari? You don't even eat until Guru tells you to eat. You go out and you're willing to take the most humiliating position of a beggar for Guru. Beg all day, and if Guru forgets to tell you to eat, you don't say anything, you just fast. Now, in the institution of ISKCON, you know, Guru may be living 10,000 miles away, so we would die of starvation if we waited for him to tell us to eat every day. But we must understand the principle. The principle is what is important. The principle of obedience, submissiveness, dedication. And one thing that Srila Prabhupada, the Param Guru and Founder Acharya of our whole society, he has told us we must take the vow to chant at least 16 rounds every day, attentively. I have seen initiation ceremonies many times with Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes he would ask, "What is your vow?" I vow to chant 16 rounds every day. And Prabhupada would say, "Minimum, no maximum, minimum. Hare Krishna." And Prabhupada was very strong. You have taken your vows before the deity, before the sacred fire, before the Vaishnavas, before the Guru. You cannot break this vow. Sadhana is the sustenance of a brahmachari's life. We cannot overcome the temptations and allurements of Maya unless we are very, very fixed in hearing and chanting. Very important. Service attitude, submissiveness. Brahmachari means you do what you're told. If you're a senior, there's always somebody senior. And you're willing to do what you're told. That is brahmachari. We don't want to lord it over, we want to serve. Grihasthas have some legal facility to lord it over. But brahmacharis, sold out, wholesale, servant, that is brahmachari. This is real brahmachari. This is what Lord Chaitanya taught, this is what Srila Prabhupada taught. And to chanting of the holy name is the very basic substance of our whole culture. So therefore our sadhana must be very strong. We must develop a real attachment to the chanting of the holy names. We must develop a real attachment for Krishna Katha. But it has to be done in a service attitude. Sometimes brahmacharis just think that they're so advanced or they want to be so special that they want to read all other books. They want to just sit and do sadhana, bhajan all day long. Even go to Vrindavan and do these things. But Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati rejected these people. This is all nonsense. You're brahmachari, you serve the mission. Menial service. Distribute books. Preach. Do puja. Do whatever you're told by your authority. Serve the mission. And simultaneously have strong, strict sadhana. Brahmacharis are never independent. Not in the society of Bhaktisiddhanta and Prabhupada. And even in the mission of Raghunath Das Goswami, what was his position? He was always under Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Offering thousands obeisances to Vaishnavas every day, thousands obeisances to the deities every day, chanting at least 2 lakhs of the holy names every day, reciting Lord Chaitanya's pastimes for at least 3 hours every day. Very strict. His regulative principles were like the lines in stone. We cannot imitate Raghunath Das Goswami. We will die. But we must follow in his footsteps. We must understand the principles he lived by. He was so strict, so honest. This is renunciation. Yes, Prabhupada was there. Vrindavan. Now I'm speaking something very much from my heart because I heard, I was living in Vrindavan for some time with Prabhupada before there was even a Krishna Balaram temple. And I heard what he said. And I know what he wanted. And all the senior leaders of ISKCON know that. He did not want anyone just living in Vrindavan. He wanted devotees to remain where they were all over the world and assist the preaching mission by rendering service to the mission. And they come to Vrindavan, to Krishna Balaram Temple, for inspiration. And then they get that inspiration and go back to their place and serve. And for those who were going to live in Vrindavan, it was Prabhupada's very strong desire that their full time serving under the authority of the leadership of Krishna Balaram Temple, as and for brahmacharis, menial servants of the temple presidents. And do your service and do your sadhana strongly. Not just as independent. Just going off in Vrindavan and doing bhajan. Some very elevated devotees may do that. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada, they did not allow. Very strong. Serve the mission. And at the same time, strong sadhana. And our sadhana has to be very faithful, developing a real taste for hearing and chanting with a service attitude. And that means being a menial, humble servant of the servant of the servant of our authorities. That is what brahmachari life is about. And then when we are doing all of these things, then we could actually, Radha Krishna, we could constantly meditate on the pastimes and the service of Radha Krishna within our minds. We want to hear the glories of Krishna, but without doing all the above things, we cannot do it with a proper consciousness. Do not speak gossip. Do not hear gossip. Do not dress luxuriously. Do not eat luxuriously or dress opulently. Offer all respect to others. Expect no respect for oneself. Constantly chant the holy names of Krishna, and in your mind, always be engaged in the service of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. This is the essence, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, of the instructions of one in the renounced order of life. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Raghunath Das Goswami, for any more details, you can inquire from Swarup Damodar Goswami. Because actually, he is more qualified than me to discuss this subject. And again, Mahaprabhu emphasized in a very practical way, renunciation means to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And after all that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ended the whole conversation with a particular verse, by which, if we follow, everything else will be fulfilled. Would you like to hear that verse?
Yes.
It is spoken in the Antya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He concludes his statement about the duties of one in the renounced order of life with this verse. Trinadapi sunichena taror iva sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be humble like a blade of grass. tolerant like tree. Offer all respect to others, expect none in return. And thus, one can constantly chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So if we want to actually make spiritual advancement and be assets to our society, we must sincerely strive to live by these principles. This is brahmachari. Brahmachari is not simply a dress or a designation or a title in one's name. A real brahmachari is one who is striving to live by these sacred principles of the Lord. And the Sangam of brahmacharis is most sacred. It's most essential because Maya is very strong. Attraction to possess material objects, property, luxurious comforts, attraction to the very charming sensation of association of the opposite sex. It's very powerful. We need protection. On our own, we cannot do it. We need the association of sadhus. Amani manadena means offer all respect to others. That includes all the grihasthas. And expect none in return. A brahmachari must offer all respect to the grihasthas and not expect the grihasthas to honor them. That's renunciation. But at the same time, as offering all respects and services to the grihastha community, the brahmacharis need each other to keep each other strong. Brahmachari sannyasi sangam is essential for our survival. We are not Haridas Thakurs where we can sit in caves all alone for years at a time and chant Harinam. We need association. And when the association of brahmacharis wrong, the strength that we gain from that sangam can protect us from maya. It's very important. Sadhu sangam. So brahmacharis must develop united friendships with one another that are based on these principles. Not coming together to gossip or to fault find, but to come together to discuss devotional service, to tax each other's brains to think, how can we better serve our Guru Maharaj? How could we better serve Srila Prabhupada's mission? And to come together to discuss the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam, and to do bhajan and kirtan together. There's a beautiful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Lord Krishna tells the Prachetas that when devotees come together to hear and chant my glories, there's no envy between them, at least for the time being. As long as we're coming together to discuss devotional service and describe the glories of the Lord to one another and chant His names, then we're protected from envy. But as soon as any other subject comes up, then the potential of envy arises. We must be very careful. Krishna tells Arjuna, you can understand this message because you are not envious. So must be very serious to develop really strong association with one another. And meetings like this today are very sacred. There should be intimate friendships. It's not just whose guru or which temple. We should all be united, because that's what Prabhupada wants us to do. And all the spiritual masters under Prabhupada, their life and soul, their everything is sacrificed for Prabhupada's pleasure. There's nothing that can bring our gurus more pleasure than seeing all devotees of different sectors united with respect, love, and trust to discuss Krishna, to make intimate friendships, and to expand this movement. So we are brahmacharis. We should be here for each other. And what better place to resolve this within our hearts than in Srila Prabhupada's quarters, where we sit today. Srila Prabhupada made Radharas Bihari Temple his international office.
Hare Krishna.
He had a national office in Los Angeles. He had a national office in Bhaktivedanta Manor for all of Europe. But Hare Krishna land, Radharas Bihari's temple, Prabhupada proclaimed, is his international office. He made this an international temple. There are many local temples. Prabhupada only assigned a few temples to be international projects. Mayapur, Bombay, and Vrindavan. International projects. Vrindavan is his home. Mayapur was his international headquarters. Yes? His place of worship. Bombay, he said, was his office. And here we are sitting right at his lotus feet in the very room where he would sit personally and direct the affairs of the whole of ISKCON worldwide right from this room. Prabhupada spent more time in Bombay than any other city in the world after he began the ISKCON Society. So what a wonderful opportunity. Here in Sri Radharas Bihari Temple, we have come together to discuss what will please Srila Prabhupada in our ashram as brahmacharis. To really strive to be united. There may be many temples in Bombay, but we should all be well-wishers, hoping for the best of each other, and assisting each other to making each other's... We may have our particular responsibilities in different temples, but we should be... Prabhupada would want to see all the temples prosper and flourish unlimitedly. Prabhupada never wanted one going up and one going down. He wants everything to flourish. Prabhupada, in some cities, he said, we can have 100 temples in this city. There should be no competition on a selfish basis. Spiritual competition is I'm working so hard to inspire other people to work so hard. And then when everyone works hard, Guru Maharaj is most pleased. So yes, this is brahmachari. No ego, no attachment, no selfishness. Just the spirit of service to Srila Prabhupada's mission. And becoming pure in heart so we could really be good instruments of his love. And if we follow these principles honestly and sincerely, Srila Prabhupada explained that brahmachari is like an express highway back home, back to Godhead.
Hare Krishna.
Therefore, Prabhupada said, if you can be a brahmachari, a good, honest, proper brahmachari, better to stay in this ashram. Because Krishna is so accessible. Mahaprabhur Bhaktikaner Vairagya Pradhan. Kaviraj Goswami said, renunciation is the life and soul of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya sees the honest renunciation of his devotees, he is very satisfied in his heart. Some siddhir hari toshana. And to satisfy the Lord is our only goal in life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Prajahari Prabhu, would you like to speak something? Would anyone like to ask any questions?
Only by the mercy of Krishna and only the first conditional development. And at the first time when you see Raghunath Das is making Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he is asking him to join him, he said, no, you don't do show much renunciation in the enjoy life without attachment. So now in our brahmacharya life, we somehow become disgusted with material life and join ISKCON. And in actually we are trying to follow. So how we accept this is to have that mercy of Krishna and we should follow this because not to be famous. But the first time when we see, when he met last time, at the end, Mahaprabhu was very happy to receive him. But the first time he said, go back. And he said, that's happy to receive him, you don't have to. So, now I thought, what is the best?
Last part?
What is best duty? Best duty. Now, of course.
We should never feel that we are qualified. However, we should follow in a sincere and honest way. That is all important. If we're going to be brahmacharis in training, we should do it properly or we shouldn't do it at all. It's better to be an honest grihasta than a cheating brahmachari. And actually, speaking nonsense, doing gossip, politics and all these things, it's a cheating brahmachari. We just shouldn't do it. And the fact is, we don't have to do it. Brahmachari is not just about no sex life. Because attachment to profit, adoration, and distinction, prestige, is subtle sex life. Yes? And that's what gossip is all about. It's all about subtle sex life. Prajalpa. So we could do it. But we have to do it. Even if we're just out of the material world and we come to be brahmacharis, We should just be honest and sincere and simple. We don't have to be great souls. We don't have to be paramahamsas to be brahmacharis. We just have to be honest and sincere to follow these things. Yes? That is all important. Prabhupada accepted so many people, and he just expected, be simple, honest, and sincere. And then gradually, by the grace of Krishna, he can empower us to do wonderful things. Ultimately, the only reason we do not fall down to Maya a million times every day is because Krishna protects us. If we think that we have power over Maya, we are in great illusion. If we're just honest and sincere and simple in heart, Krishna will protect us. And even if we slip and make some mistake, Krishna will pick us up and reinstate us. Yes? Sometimes a brahmachari may make mistake. But if they're simple and honest and sincere, Krishna can reinstate them and help them to go back to Godhead. It's not that a brahmachari is a perfect person. But they're really trying to follow these principles and represent their guru, Prabhupada and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das Goswami to go home for many reasons. Any reasons. One is that he wanted to show the world you cannot approach God directly. Raghunath Das Goswami had to get the blessings of Lord Nityananda and all the Vaishnavas in Panihati. Servant of the servant of the servant. Does that answer your question? Just be humble, be simple, be honest, and try your best, and Krishna will protect you and empower you. Yes?
So the Lord is mentioning that you have to be sincere so that you will be able to see what is simple, and you have to be honest with us, and then Krishna will be merciful to us. Now, individually, we think that you know, we will be following, we should be following this, but the when we look at the parts of the ideals, our senior followers of this movement, and we see in last 30 years, so many exalted devotees who just gave up and went down from this path. And when we consider their spiritual progression, their dedication, their service in Prabhupada's movement, we are very insignificant. And in that state, they were not able to maintain or continue to what is, you know, there is a goal for me. So I have to accept that.
Very good question. We must learn offenses to Vaishnavas or inattentiveness in our sadhana leads to fall down. Whoever we may be, whether we're big or small. Prabhupada said the bigger you are, the harder you fall, if you do fall. But these are two of the greatest reasons for fall down. Neglect to perform our sadhana properly and offenses to Vaishnavas. And generally both of them come due to pride. If you're not performing your sadhana properly, if you're not developing a proper service attitude, if you're not reminding yourself by reading Prabhupada's books regularly, then we can easily fall victim to pride. Because when we become successful in Krishna consciousness, people begin to respect us, honor us, and adore us. And although when people are honoring us, we have a greater capacity to help them, we also have a greater capacity to hurt them. If we maintain a humble service attitude toward them and toward all other Vaishnavas, and we're repeating the message properly, then the more people honor and respect us, the more we can actually help people and inspire people. Yes? But if we think that honor and respect belongs to me, if we think ourselves the doer, then we're in the road to fall down. Because if you think yourself the doer, you become proud of your success. And when you're proud of your success, that leads to aparads to others. And when you make aparads to others, Krishna gives warnings. He gives several warnings. You better give this up or you're going to fall down. He may give warnings through other devotees. He give warnings through lectures and through the scriptures we're reading. But if we do not pay heed to those warnings, we have to fall down. So yes, when we see big people who have done millions of times more service than ourselves, who are so empowered, if they fall down due to false pride or neglect to their sadhana, then what is our position? It should totally humble us and understand, I cannot become proud because people millions of times greater than me fell when they were proud. I cannot become proud. I don't want to end up like that. And I cannot neglect my sadhana. Every single one of us can go back home, back to Godhead in this very life. But Lord Chaitanya stressed this verse, Trinadapi sunichena taror ibasihishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. No one will ever fall down if they're sincerely trying to follow this verse. So in many ways, the second generation is more fortunate than the first generation. Because the first generation, we heard the teachings from Prabhupada. We heard the warnings from Prabhupada. But many people just didn't believe it. They were thinking, because I'm doing so much, because I'm so great, because so many people think of me this way, I am transcendental to all this. But the problem is, they weren't. And they fell down. So your generation is very fortunate, very special. Because you see, you're hearing the same teachings, and you can actually see historically what happens when even big, 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 big people neglect these teachings. So we should be very humble, in a very deep service attitude, and become very attached to chanting Hare Krishna. Does that answer your question? Yes. You can all go back home, back to Godhead. But we have to learn from the mistakes of others. Seeing is believing. Is that clear? Yes. Prabhupada's disciples heard all these teachings. But especially after Prabhupada left, some infatuation came in some people's minds, or some neglect. Now some people say, if they can't do it, what is the possibility for any of us? The possibility is, if you're careful to follow the teachings, Trinadapi Sunichena, Taror Iva Sahishna, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Are any other questions? Yes.
Relationships between devotees and the life, personal life, the people I have intimate relationships with, like my father Hidago, I was 12, and my grandmother Hidago, I was 13, and the brahmacharis I have relationships with, they go to another temple and I don't see them, and the sannyasis I have relationships with, they travel out the world, so you never run into. So it seems like we're always being separated from people we become attached to and it causes us suffering. So it makes it hard to develop close relationships when you see how we're going to be separated from the people in the future. So how do we get past that?
Just try your best. We could communicate in other ways also. In my own personal life, many of the deepest relationships I have are not necessarily people who are serving in the same place. But we keep communication, and as much as possible we meet, and we have nice sangam whenever that good fortune may come. But to have nice, strong association where we are is such a sacred benediction, and we should really pray and strive to develop that also. But according to the particular service that we have, time, place, and circumstance, we have to just try to apply that principle the best possible way. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
This first Trinadapi Sunichena, first part that we should think as an insignificant.
They're giving.
In the words, Trinadapi Sunichena, we should consider ourselves insignificant. Is it in front of other devotees or is it in front of Krishna? Because if we have some capability and we have some estimation about ourselves that, and some other devotees there, and we know that we are better in that a particular field to him, so how can we consider ourselves insignificant to that devotee?
Because you are. We're insignificant. If we're insignificant in front of Krishna, and every living being is part and parcel of Krishna, we're insignificant in front of everyone. Yes? That is the way a devotee should feel. Someone may be worshipping you as good as God, but in your heart you're not thinking like that. You're just the servant of the servant of the servant. Insignificant. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anu Das Harimo. Because your dealings with that other devotee, is Krishna not watching? Yes? So is it that you, when you're all alone before Krishna, you feel yourself insignificant? But when you're in front of somebody who's junior to you, you feel yourself very significant. Krishna's watching in all circumstances. He wants us to feel insignificant in all circumstances. But in that mood, we offer service according to Krishna's will. Prabhupada wrote on Jaladutta to Krishna that he was an insignificant beggar. He never gave up that mentality. Even when he was roaring like a lion, chastising people. Like that famous story of the devotee, he was a devotee in 26 Second Avenue. One of his first devotees. And they didn't really, Prabhupada was preaching for weeks. And I think this may have been just before or after the first initiation ceremony. But, you know, the devotees really didn't grasp the difference between personalism and impersonalism, although Prabhupada was speaking it so strongly. So one devotee just started presenting to Prabhupada Mayavad philosophy, started telling him, this is the truth. And Prabhupada's listening. He was becoming like a volcano, just about to erupt. And when the devotee just hesitated, Prabhupada said, are you finished? And the devotee said, no. And he continued. Prabhupada's eyes were becoming red, and his lips were trembling. Then he paused, and Prabhupada said, are you finished? And then the devotee continued, speaking Mayavad. And Prabhupada's hand was trembling. And then finally, when he was finished, Prabhupada slapped his hand in the desk, got up. He literally just lunged forward in so much power, like Lord Nrsimhadev, and roared. Just roared. To defeat Mayavad philosophy. So was Prabhupada feeling himself insignificant next to that devotee? He just smashed him. Totally smashed him. Called him a rascal. Yes. Prabhupada was doing with all humility. Because he never considered himself the doer. He was simply doing it on behalf of his Guru and Krishna. As long as we know we're doing everything on behalf of Guru and Krishna, and all our power is coming from Guru and Krishna, we could be humble even when we're in a very high leadership position. That is Trinadapi Sunichena, in a practical way. Does that answer your question? So we may be in a position on behalf of Krishna where we may be doing more than someone else, but we should never think, I'm better. We should never even think I'm better than the karmis, or the meat eaters, or the drunkards, or the prostitutes. A Vaishnava doesn't think he or she is better than anyone. We just feel that by the mercy of Guru, Krishna, and the Vaishnavas, I am more fortunate. But if I become proud, my fortune could be taken away and I'm worse than them. So it's not, I'm better. Somehow or other, I've been blessed with fortune. Let me share that fortune with them so they can also be better. That is a Vaishnava spirit. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Would anyone else like to ask a question? Yes, Paul.
You're saying how we should meditate to the Brahmacharya ashram if we can do it. And I'm very much inspired to try, but at the same time, the attraction for
relating with family members and dealing with friends and other devotees who are in female bodies and things like that. I feel like it's difficult for me to be able to separate myself from that in an honest way, but at the same time I want to be as strict and sincere as I possibly can without sacrificing these nice devotee relationships. So is there some positive way to relate with devotees who are of the opposite sex in a way that is not detrimental to brahmacharya, but at the same time you can still maintain nice professional relationships?
Radha Madhav Prabhu is a Gurukuli, so his generation is like that. We should respect and honor every lady as like we would respect and honor our own mother. But to mix freely or intimately with the opposite sex is against the principles of brahmacharya. If we want to do that for our enjoyment, then it is better to be an honest grihastha. But certainly we should be honorable toward all females. But to beyond just necessary services, we should not associate freely. That is the principle of brahmacharya. But even for those who want to become grihasthas, brahmacharya training is first class. But during the time we're brahmacharya training, we should follow the principle strictly and purely and right. That is all. Then the training is very effective. Prabhupada explains that a person who is properly trained as a brahmachari could be a very, very first-class grihastha. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Brahmacharya life should never be to get a good wife. Never. Brahmacharya life should be to train ourselves in pure Krishna consciousness. And if we have an intention to be a grihastha, then after brahmacharya life, then we could start going through whatever process to get good wife. But it's not that I will... By being a brahmachari, I will get a very good wife. Or I will attract some nice angel from the spiritual sky. When you're a brahmachari, you focus on your detachment, your renunciation, your absorbing. Real brahmachari means absorption, absorption in service, absorption in Krishna, no distractions. And get good training, good, strong, solid spiritual foundation. And then later on, even if your intention at the beginning is let me marry later, when you're a brahmachari, put that aside. And then when you complete your course as a brahmachari, then you can enter into that phase of life. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
In the case of Kardamuni and Devamuti, if you please explain why Kardamuni was aspiring to be a good wife, and then perhaps later on the pastimes when Bhagavatam, when they traveled in the area mentioned, enjoying, if you please elaborate on that topic.
Which part? There, his renunciation or his enjoyment?
It just seems it's very difficult to understand the philosophy behind it.
Kardama Muni was a great renunciate. Very great renunciate. There was no hypocrisy, no duplicity. He was an honest, sincere brahmachari. He was a sadhu, performing tapasya in the forest. But Krishna wanted him to be his father. So ultimately, it was Krishna's heart that gave him the desire to have a child and a wife. Krishna doesn't take birth in the family of just a bewildered soul. Huh? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sachi Devi that previously you were Devaki, you were Vasudev, you were Aditi, you were Devahuti. This means this is the same tattva. What's all your us? Actually, Nanda Maharaj, Vasudev, Dasarat Maharaj, Kashyapa Muni, Kardama Muni, it's the Lord's eternal Father manifesting in different ways, different times, same spirit, same energy. Yes? So Kardama Muni was pure devotee. He was doing so much tapasya that Vishnu was crying tears to fill up a lake named Bindu Sarovar. So it's not that he just all of a sudden became bewildered. On one level, you know, you can explain a pastime from different points of view according to the lesson you're trying to teach people. But essentially, it was Yoga Maya. Krishna wanted to be his son. So therefore, Krishna awakened within his heart the desire to marry. But it was a very pure desire for marriage. It wasn't just he wanted sense gratification. On one level, it could be explained like that. But ultimately, he wanted to serve Krishna in that way. So then after he got married to Devahuti, who was so beautiful, I mean, what was the substance of Kardama Muni's detachment? He was an amazing personality. Devahuti was so beautiful that demigods, Prabhupada said, compared to the beauty of the demigoddesses, the women of this earth are like horses. Yes? If you are infatuated by the women on this earth, then you don't want to go to the heavenly planets. Because these women, even, you know, Miss India is like a horse. Compared to even a common demigoddess in the heavenly planets. Yes? But the demigods, when they were in their airplanes flying over the palace of Svayambhuva Manu, when they saw Devahuti playing, they would be so attracted to her beauty that they would fall unconscious and fall off their airplanes onto the ground. Can you imagine being married to a girl like that? So beautiful. The very personification of beauty. And so chaste and so mild-natured and so absolutely charming and cooperative. Kardama Muni was married to her, and from the day of their marriage, she just brought her to the forest and forgot about her. He would meditate. And she was so chaste, she wouldn't eat until she fed him. She would be out collecting herbs and roots and whatever else is in the forest, and she'd have a nice plate of prasad for him. And she wouldn't eat until after him, because he was following the traditional codes of a chaste wife at that time. And he would just be in meditation for weeks and weeks at a time, totally absorbed in samadhi. He wasn't even conscious that his wife existed. Huh? That's detachment. Usually if somebody marries a woman like that, you know, at least for a while, he wants to enjoy. Kardama Muni didn't look at her, didn't touch her, just went right into meditation. So obviously, he didn't get married for sense gratification, or he would have done it. But then after years of tapasya like that, his wife was emaciated. She had matted hair. Her whole complexion became pale, and her skin was all just dried up from severe hardships. And as a woman, she naturally wanted to have a child. She wanted to be a mother. That's the nature of a woman. They want to be a mother. But she never said a single word to her husband because she didn't want to complain. Just let him do his tapasya. But when he saw her, he understood she's very sad in her heart. She wants to have a child. And he is a very powerful person. He could understand the will of the Lord. So he wanted to give her a child in the service of Krishna. But that whole aerial mansion and everything else, that he was such a renunciate, he needed no less than that to go through the act of having a child. Yes? That's how detached he was. Can you imagine? That whole atmosphere of beautiful garments and beautiful fragrances and an aerial mansion and fragrant trees and flowers everywhere and going to all the vacation spots in this aerial mansion. All those arrangements had to be made just to induce him into the mode of passion. Yes? He was so much in the mode of goodness. He couldn't have done it in the forest. He would have just gone back into samadhi. So he was a very special soul. And that's why Kapila Dev chose Devahuti and Kardama Muni to be mother and father and to be celebrated and glorified forever. Does that answer your question?
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions? I think we should end here. I'm very, very, very grateful to be amongst all of you today. I feel very purified in your presence. And it's especially very, very pleasing to my heart to see this Sangam. It's like Prabhupada's room has become like Prayag, where the river of brahmacharis from Radha Gopinath temple have merged with the river of brahmacharis from Radha Ras Bihari's temple. And the confluence of the two brahmachari ashrams have created Prayagraj, the king of all holy places. And we are all bathing in this confluence and becoming very purified. Thank you. I'm praying that these types of programs can happen again and again and again to build deeper, genuine, loving relationships amongst all of us for the pleasure of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.